Our gift, and tonight we're going to spend a little bit of time in this because the discovery aspect is a crucial, I believe, and I've said this, and I'll just to repeat tonight, I believe that every saint of God, upon salvation, when we receive the Holy Ghost, we repent, we're baptized, and we receive the Holy Ghost. That not just the gift of the Holy Ghost, but Scripture tells us that God selects gifts for His body, for His church, to utilize and to use for the edification of the saints or the maturity, the growing of the saints. I believe that we all have gift packages. I believe that some of the gifts that we all possess is the gift of helps. I believe that that's very critical in a church, that we help when we see someone in need, we help. So the gift of giving is something else that that we all have. I liken it like this. When I go in and I buy a vehicle, no matter what kind of vehicle I buy, I'm pretty much guaranteed that I'm going to get four tires, an engine, and a steering wheel with that gift. So we could say that there's certain things that are prerequisites, certain things that we all have. We all have the drivetrain, the four tires, the steering wheel, the running gear, the engine, most all of our vehicles. Has anyone here ever bought a vehicle that didn't come with windshield wipers? I am so sorry. Was that Chevy Vega? That would explain it. There's a lot of other things it didn't come with. But we all have gift packages. So what Brother Ty has, or what Brother Rick Solberg or Sister Michelle every one of us has something different. And so we're going to talk about delighting in those gifts. I see too many times, I see Christians that are gifted and God has blessed them with gifts and they don't reflect that, doesn't reflect very well. I see a lot of disappointed Christians, and that shouldn't be. We should delight in what God gives us. And so we're going to read from Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8 tonight, and we'll get into this. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. This is Paul talking to the church in Rome. He says, if it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is in giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. So if it is contributing to the needs of others, then we need to do it generously. If it's leadership, then let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do what? He needs to do it cheerfully. Cheerfully. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. And this is talking about monies, about finances. But Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, and he's talking about finances, but he says God loves a cheerful giver. When we give of our offering, our tithe and our offerings, we don't walk up to the offering plate and our wives have to slap our hands so that we drop the money in the plate, guys. The Bible says that we need to do it cheerfully with a smile on our face. And I've seen so many people give reluctantly and not want to give and think about all the different things I could have used. If you have a delight in your heart, then using your spiritual gifts, we must delight in it. And I think the best way to delight, the best way to be a cheerful giver is to see the glorious vision that God is trying to develop inside of each and every one of us. Sometimes it's difficult when we go through and we go through the discover phase of a gift to where that God has gifted us. Perhaps let's say with a gift of what's a administration. Okay, I'm gonna I pick on that. Okay, but a gift of administration and we struggle and say, well, where can I use this gift in the body of Christ? How can I? We already have an administrator at the church and things are run well and this, that, and the other, and we try to say, where does this gift fit in? And we can get discouraged by not seeing our gift fit in how we feel it needs to fit in, or when we feel, or where we feel it needs to fit in. So understand something. This just kind of hit me as I was working in this lesson. And all church ministry, everything that we are doing right here and right now, everything that we are doing tomorrow, the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year, everything we do is temporary. Everything we do is just temporal. It's temporary. But the results of what we do can be eternal. And that's amazing to me that God would take and use people in a temporary ministry or gifting, and it has eternal results. And perspective, how we look at things, has much to do with our success in our giftings. Yes, local church ministry is temporary. Lots of changes. Lots of things happen. But perspective, things are looking really good from up here. When we look down at God's perspective and we look at the church, we look at ministry, Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, and it is going to be glorious. I just can't imagine what heaven is going to be like. When you get into the book of Revelation and you read in the latter chapters of Revelation, you begin to read about what heaven is made out of. The streets of gold and gates of pearl. And if memory serves me right, it's like 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles square. I don't know how many levels are in heaven, and it's been described to me that it's like a three-dimensional chessboard, and I just can't imagine. But you see, when we look at this is our God and the gifts that He's given us, we should be very, very cheerful in using our spiritual gift. We should delight on it because we are doing eternally glorious work. I want to just read this. He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Those are the five gift types of ministries that we would term normally, or we would call the fivefold ministry. On Sunday, I'm going to get into the three various types of gifts. There's a number of different gifts under each one of those areas. So God's people are made ready by the ministry of the Word of God to do works of service. Works of service to the building up of the body. Just as we would exercise and work out and lift weights to build up our physical body, we exercise and we use our gifts to build up the spiritual body. The spiritual body has to be built up, strengthened, and matured. That's the goal of spiritual gift ministry. Spiritual gift ministry should not be how many of these can I collect? How many gifts can I take and put in my basket? How many of the big five gifts can I put in? I have the gift of prophecy and I'm an evangelist and I just have to work on my preaching a little bit and teach. No. That's not the goal of spiritual gift ministry. The full maturity of the body of Jesus Christ. We were moved from being infants, being blown back and forth by the waves, till we grow to be Christ-like in maturity. So when each and every individual has been brought from death to life through evangelism and missions, and then disciplined and discipled and trained, discipled and trained by a healthy church ministry up to full maturity and even more into full glorification. We want to be able to, each and every one of us, hear our God say to us, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." How many of you want to hear that? I want to hear that. You know, it's funny because "well done" can mean two things. I want to be well done as in good job. Not well done as in something on a barbecue pit that's been there for too long. I want to hear God say, "You know what, Roy? With what I gave you, you did a good job." And I want each and every one of you to be able to hear the same thing from our God. When we graduate, the ultimate graduation is moving from earthly life to heavenly life. What we are doing and what spiritual gifts assist us and help us do is it helps each and every one of us to mature, but also to help our brothers and sisters to mature so that we can all gain eternal life. When all of the elect have been glorified, then the work is finished. When we hear our Lord and Savior say, "Well done," you know what? Our work is finished. Our earthly mission is complete. And that's what spiritual gifts are given to do. And that is an awesome, glorious thing. We don't always look at spiritual gifts. I mean, and I know this is a silly analogy, but you know, there's all so many different TV shows now and movies about all kinds of normal people that have all kinds of superpowers. And you think about this, and in the church, we're all normal. Well, most of us anyway. Within our own parameters. We're pretty normal people. But God can give us some pretty abnormal gifts. You think about this. You think about tongues and interpretation. Doesn't that just seem weird? I'm just getting a bunch of like, "Oh no." What an awkward way to talk to a people. But God chose that. God chose tongues. Why did he choose tongues? So that everyone could have an opportunity. So each of us has a part. And the body of Christ is built to full maturity. So spiritual gifts are vital to this whole redemptive plan of God. And if we individually use our gifts, and as we're out and about using the gifts, then we are receiving other people's gifts. All of us grow up. We grow up. How do we grow up? We grow up by serving. How do you tell in your family when your children begin to grow up? They begin to grow up when they stop feeding themselves and they help feed their siblings. You know they're growing up. And so that's how we know. And we grow up by being served. And with the spiritual gifts, that's what the local church is all about. And this is what makes the local church. This is one of the things that gives us power and authority over the spirits in this world. So, in view of God's mercy and presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, so church, we need to delight in our gifts. Psalms 37:4 in the ESV says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." This is not merely an invitation, but it's an open secret to the joy-filled life that our God, our Creator, intends for us. But what does it mean to delight in the Lord? What does it mean to delight in the Lord? Delighting in God is not about fleeing, about a fleeting sense of pleasure. It's a deep, profound joy that springs from knowing and loving our Creator. It is the revealing in His presence or reveling in His presence, delighting in His Word and cherishing His love. It involves recognizing and appreciating His abundant gifts that color our everyday life with hues of grace and gratitude. I sometimes, when I just sit down and I think about every blessing and everything that God has given and done for me and my life and my wife and I and our family, sometimes I can't help but get emotional about it. It's important that we realize that God delights in us. We read in Zephaniah, Old Testament prophet, chapter 3, verse 17, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing." I think it's incredible to think that the Almighty God that created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, everything that we enjoy, that He takes delight in us. Just as a father smiles at his innocent children as they're laughing and giggling and playing, I can just see that God looks down upon His creation, looks down upon His church, and God rejoices in our genuine attempts to walk in His ways. He rejoices in attempts for us to understand His Word and to live a life that reflects His love. Our imperfections do not deter His delight. So many times we think, well, I probably made God mad today. You ever thought that? Have you ever said that? Have you said that this week? Maybe you said that today. Lord, I probably disappointed you. I've said that many times. Lord, I probably disappointed you, Lord, because I didn't come through the way I felt I should have come through. I think so many times that we look and we beat ourselves down, and God doesn't stand up there and look down at us, and it's like, well, Glenn Rossing, you blew it again today. I can't trust you anymore, so I'm just going to move on. That stubborn Norwegian got the best of him. That's not how God works. That's not how God. He delights. He delights. He takes delight in His children. He giggles. He may sometimes giggle at us, like, oh boy, I saw that coming. But our imperfections do not deter His delight. Instead, He rejoices in our progress toward righteousness and holiness. He doesn't look at just the shortcomings. He looks at the areas in our lives that we are struggling to be. We often become engrossed in our own worries and fears, overlooking the multiple blessings and gifts that God has showered down upon us. Our minds become preoccupied with unfulfilled desires and unsolved problems, and we allow ourselves to drift into periods of turmoil, and we forget to delight in God's good gifts. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for every good gift that God has given me. Not every gift that God has given me is a gift of the Spirit. I'm thankful for the home that I have. I'm thankful that I have friends and I have family. I'm thankful that I have decent vehicles to drive. I'm thankful that I have a job, a ministry. There's so many things. The key to experiencing God's delight is simply sometimes we just have to pause and look around and recognize the abundance that He has poured into our lives. How many of you have got a new vehicle, new to you vehicle in the last year? I'm just thankful that God is just so good and so generous. The key to experiencing God's delight, take that time and just pause. This may sound more like a Thanksgiving service, but just to take and pause. Sometimes we just forget. James 1:17 tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of change. The seemingly mundane aspects of life, a shared laughter with a friend. I was able to go out for lunch this past week with Brother Jim Rivest, and of course his son Ryan came, and one of his employees came along with him, and I was just thankful to have lunch with some friends, with some brothers. And a heartfelt prayer. Sometimes it's nice to know when you're on the receiving end of the other people's prayers, that people are praying for you. Beautiful sunset, the peace that comes over after a long day. These are divine gifts meant to remind us of His constant presence and enduring love. We're talking about delighting in our gifts. God's gifts are not solely for enjoyment, but also tools for us to draw closer to Him. We have to understand that when God gives us a gift, no matter what that gift is, God wants to use that gift as an opportunity for you to get to know Him and for Him to get to know you at a whole different level. They're tools to help us draw closer to Him, tools to assist in the helping of each other, as well as tools to help us individually and collectively to win the lost. The beauty of nature reflects His majesty as the heavens declare His glory, and the love of our family and our friends should mirror His unconditional love. The peace that fills our hearts during moments of prayer is a testament of His ever-comforting presence. Delighting in these gifts involves an act of thanksgiving. We have to be thankful for what God gives us. Daily, pray daily with a heart of gratitude that acknowledges God as the giver of the gifts, praise Him for His generosity, and share His love with others. Having a grateful heart involves recognizing that every blessing is a token of God's affection and a reminder of His delight in us. I think if we as Christians, I think so many times our perception of God and how God deals with us and such, I think that it is so skewed perhaps at times by sin, that we just get the wrong impression. God demands things from us, God asks things from us and such, but so many times I think we just get it wrong. I don't know if I'm making any sense here tonight. I'm I'm speaking more probably from just personal experience and things. But as we delight in God's gifts, we are able to partake in His joy. They're not my gifts. They're not my giftings. They're God's gifts that He has so entrusted me with, He has entrusted you with. God has given us these gifts, and we partake in these gifts. We partake in His joy. And in return, our delights bring joy into the hearts of our God. We want to make God happy. A lot of times we say, well, you know, worship and praise. Yes, that's true, worship and praise. That gets God's attention. But if we want to make God happy, take the gifts that He has given to us and use them for His purpose so that He in turn can delight. We can just make God giggle. Does that make sense? I think about this, and I think about all the times that God has given me gifts and times that I've been afraid to use, been afraid to utilize. But this beautiful interchange between humanity and God, it strengthens our bond with God. I want God to be able to trust me. When God gives me something, I want to be able to take and say, Lord, You entrusted me with this, and I am going to use it to the best of my ability to serve You. I want to make my God look good to a world that has such a skewed view of who God really is. So this beautiful interchange strengthens our bond with our Heavenly Father. It gives us peace. It gives us gratitude. And it gives us a fulfillment that transcends even our own understanding at times. I don't know why God does what He does. I don't know why God trusts humanity the way He trusts humanity, but He does. He loves His people. I know that. So if we can stand, our musicians can come. This will be my shortest lesson in this series. But church, I want to challenge us to strive to delight in the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect. And the psalmist of old says to delight in the law. God's giftings, when God gives us giftings, He gives us giftings that are perfect. But we're not perfect. And He trusts us, Brother Dennis, with a perfect gift, knowing that there may be some imperfections in the developing and the deploying of those gifts, but He trusts us. So we have to strive to delight in the Lord and His gifts every day. And as we do, we will discover that our deepest desires align with God's perfect will for our lives. So tonight, church, our challenge is not to just discover the giftings that God has given to us, but to delight in them. So as our worship team prepares to just sing, lead us into worship here for, I just want to, just tonight, I'm just going to invite us. There's not a lot of us here. We're a smaller number tonight. But I just want to invite us to come down and just lift our hands and just worship God and just delight in the gifts that He has given to each and every one of us. And he said, well, Pastor, I'm not for sure what my gifts are. Well, come down tonight and thank him in advance for discovering what he wants to give to you. God bless you, church. Delight in the Lord.